We've been focusing on prayer. We've been moving through 40 days of prayer. I'm missing a... There we go. Sorry, folks. You ever have one of those days where seems to be things are missing, and it's probably my own fault? let me see if I can get this going here. No, it does not seem to want to work. All right, well, that's working. There we go. Yeah, it's day 29. We've been going through 40 days of prayer. And today's day 29 in that. We've been looking over the last 28 days at these four themes in our praying. A closer walk with Jesus, care for the church family, compassion for those who don't know Jesus as Lord, and clarity of vision for our future building project. So if you've been with us on these 40 days of prayer, then you'll know that every day in the last 28 days of these 40, we've been praying for one of these four things. And I got to tell you, I'm seeing how God is answering those prayers. Can you put your hand up if you've been seeing that too? If you've been part of this journey and you've been seeing that? Yeah, okay. Okay, there's five of us. Okay, good. I believe there's probably more than that. Yesterday I was on a soccer field, getting burned in the sun, and I'm coaching Titus's team. Hey, Titus. We missed you yesterday, buddy. I know you couldn't be with us. But we had a couple of soccer games. And why am I coaching soccer? I've never played organized soccer. I like to watch soccer. So why am I coaching soccer? I'm coaching soccer so I can spend more time with Titus. And here's the other thing. I was talking to my friend, my roommate, old roommate, who's now pastoring in Germany. And He's in transition from a church in Bonn to a church in Berlin. And one of his passions is to connect with people in the city. Now, the church that he had just been pastoring at in Bonn was a church that they didn't really want their pastor to really do much in the community. They just wanted their pastor to stay in the church and help the people in the church. That was their vision. But my buddy Rob loves people that don't know Jesus a lot. And so he really wanted to be freed up to work and to get involved in Bonn, Greater Bonn, Germany. It wasn't working out. So they needed to make a transition. They needed to make a change. And so he's now moving with his family to Berlin to be part of the Saddleback Church in Berlin. And they, in that church in Berlin, have a real huge vision to connect unbelievers with Jesus, to be involved in community life. And as I was talking to Rob about this on the phone these last couple of months, a little thing is stirring up in my heart. I need to do a little more outside the walls, right? I need to do a little more outside the walls. So an opportunity came up to coach soccer in our city, right? And an email got sent around. The soccer team that Titus is on needs a coach. I'm like, I don't know how to coach soccer, but we have the internet. That can help me out a little bit. Anyways, I can't tell you. We've only been doing this for like 3 or 4 weeks now. Hey, Titus? Titus is a star, by the way, a star soccer player on our team. We've been only doing this for a few weeks now, and not only do I get to spend more time with him, but I'm meeting people from our community, a lot of them who don't know Jesus at all, and I'm having the opportunity to make relationships with these people. And I've been praying for compassion for those who don't know Jesus. And here within these 40 days, this opportunity came up. And by the grace of God and with the support of my wife, I was going to say, where's my wife? Megan's not my wife, but my wife was sitting here. With the support of my wife, I'm doing it. And with the support of this church family. You may not have known this, but you're supporting me to do this. So thank you. And yes, just yesterday, man, just yesterday, there were at least two huge things in with regards to this soccer team and connecting with people, and connecting in the community. There's a guy that I've been praying for a while that I knew from the gym. And then I stopped going to the gym. Don't have the money. Pay 30, 40 bucks every month to go. So, okay, no more gym. I'll start walking more. But there's that guy that I've been praying for. He shows up at the game because he's bringing one of the kids to the game that is in a group home. And there's Chris. It's like I hadn't seen him in a year or more. And there's that relationship again. And it's like I was. He didn't know this, and I didn't tell him, but I had been praying for him, and it was a reminder to keep praying for him. And anyways, just as we pray and as we take things seriously and we take them to the Lord in prayer, God will surprise you with the answers to prayer. Amen? If we don't pray about these things, they're not, you know, we won't see them happen in our lives. But when we start praying about these things, we start seeing answers to those prayers. God starts moving in our hearts. One of my professors at Bible college said, prayer doesn't change God, prayer changes you. It's so much truth to that. As I'm praying about this, God is opening my eyes. He's giving me a greater heart of compassion for the lost and in our very community. Anyways, if we had time, I would ask you to share testimonies of what's happened this week, because I know I'm not the only one that's been seeing answers to prayer this week. Praise God, there's an answer to prayer sitting right in front of me here. Callahan, praise God. Some of you have been praying for that baby for months and months and months. Good to see you guys. We need to be reminded as we enter into God's Word, what God's Word says about itself. And getting too far ahead. There we go. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So what does God's Word say about God's Word? Let's read this together. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You know, we need to be reminded of this verse regularly. God's Word, this Bible, equips us not for some good work, but for all, for every good work. It was written 2,000 years ago, and yet it holds true today. Norm Geisler remarked, the Bible claims to be and proves to be the Word of God. Now you're saying, well, any book can claim to be the Word of God. Does that make it true? Does that make it the Word of God? No. But the Bible doesn't just claim to be, it proves to be God's Word. That's why we affirm it. That's why we affirm this. That's why we read it, we study it, we apply it to our lives. Because then we discover there's no book like this in all the world. There never has been and there never will be. Perhaps you've never read the Bible. Perhaps you've never even owned a Bible. And if that's you this morning, you're welcome to one of the Pew Bibles. Take it home. It's our gift to you. There's Gospel of John's. We'd love to get into your hands as well. Speak to me after, and we'll get you one of those. But the Bible is also downloadable on our phones. How many of you have a Bible app on your phone that you use? Look at the hands. Like, there's no excuse for not having a Bible today. Like, it is just, it's so easy to get. And the ones you get on our phones have, like, a million languages. So if you speak Swahili or if you speak Arabic, it's okay. It's right there. I just love it. But, you know, let's be reminded that the book that we're going to look into now for a minute is God's Word. It's not human. It's not just mere human words. It's God's Holy Spirit inspired these men of God to write these words, and that's what makes them powerful. It's God's Word. So let's look at Ephesians 3. I'm going to read 14 to 19. So just follow along. Or 14 to 21. The title of my message is A Prayer for the Church. This is part 3. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It looks like my battery finally bit the dust this morning. My bad. We can just turn off the screen. It's fine. It's okay. They did without PowerPoint for 2,000 years. We can do it without it for a day, right? So there's three parts of the prayer. I said it about a month ago. The three parts to the prayer. There's the posture of the prayer. There's the petition of the prayer. And there's the praise of the prayer. The posture we looked at 4 weeks ago now, and it was with Paul, as he begins verse 14, he's on his knees. I bow my knees. The posture is humility. The posture is submission. The posture is reverence for God. That's the posture of this prayer. This is a prayer that I just read. The second part is the petitions of the prayer. The petitions. What's a petition? We don't use that word too often. It means request. I make a petition. I'm making a request. There's three requests that Paul makes in this prayer. And how do I know there's three? Well, you find them by reading it. And if you, it's what's quite interesting is looking at it in the original Greek. I'm not a Greek expert, but there's three words that we find in Greek that help us realize that there's three requests. Okay, the word is hina. It's a hina clause. There's three hina clauses here, which help us understand there's three requests here. We don't in our translations from ancient Greek to English. Sometimes we miss those things, but let me just say that's what's there. So there's three petitions. We've looked at the first two already. What are they? Let's, as a reminder, verse 16, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The first prayer that Paul makes here, the first petition, is for strength. That you may be strengthened, where? In your inner being. He's not praying that the Ephesians will all of a sudden start pumping iron and get really buff. No, he's praying that they'd have strength in here. And like we all know it, that's where we need strength, right? That's where we need inner strength, our bodies. As I'm getting older, we're getting older. I'm watching these kids play soccer yesterday. I'm thinking, I can't do what they're doing. If I get on the field for 10 minutes like they run around, I will be flat on my face. As I'm getting older, my body's getting weaker. But on the inside, by the grace of God, I'm getting stronger. And I hope you can say that of yourselves as well. And I don't mean like this mental, just mental and emotional strength. We're talking spiritual strength here. And this is where we need to be strengthened, in our soul. If we're not rooted in Christ, if we don't have inner strength, if we don't have an inner being to be strengthened, then we'll fall over when the waves come. So, first petition was for strength in verse 16, in the beginning of 17. The second petition, halfway through 17, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the height, what is the breadth, rather, and the length, and the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. The second request was a petition that they would know the infinite love of Christ. That the church would know the infinite love of Christ, the height, the depth, the length, the breadth, whatever, all four dimensions. That they would know it. They would comprehend it. And that they'd be rooted and grounded in it. So that's petition two. Rooted and grounded in love, that we'd know the infinite love of God. You know what? There may be someone here today that does not know the infinite love of God. And if you don't know the infinite love of God, oh, I pray that you would today. I pray that you would today. You know, we see the beautiful love of parents here. You know why? I bet Megan would do anything for Jack. I bet she'd do anything. I bet she'd lay down her life for him. You know what? Jesus laid down his life for you. The one who made you laid down his life for you. That is the infinite love of God demonstrated. Greater love has no one than this, than one laid down his life for his friend. And that is exactly what Jesus did. That is exactly what Jesus did. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is the love of God. He knows how much I've messed up in my life. And yet he came. He came and he went to the cross and he died for it all. And he knows your life. He knows your past. The highs and the lows. And thanks be to God, he loves us. He so loved you. Insert your name. He so loved your name that God gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We all need to know the love of God. greater and greater, and we need to root ourselves in his love. Some of you haven't been loved. Some of you have been pushed around. And you need to know today that Jesus loves you. He loves you unconditionally. And there's nothing that you can do that would turn away his love for you. Thanks be to God. Third petition we're going to look at today. Very brief verse here. Second half of 19. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the third prayer. He prays for their strength. He prays that they'll know the infinite love of Christ. And now he prays that you, church, may be filled with the fullness of God. And this is exactly, we're picking up exactly where we left off last week. And the question can be asked, what does the scripture mean? When the apostle prays climactically, finally, that the Christian church may be filled with the fullness of God. Honestly, I've been asking this question all week. What does this mean? To be filled with the fullness of God. What does it mean? Well, we're going to get to that today. This is his summarizing petition, his last request in this portion of his prayer. Now, to be sure, this third request, this third petition is related to the previous two. As believers in Jesus are inwardly strengthened through the work of the Holy Spirit, verse 16 and 17, first petition. Love that the Holy Spirit is such a part of this text here on Pentecost Sunday. As we're inwardly strengthened through the work of the Holy Spirit, as believers grow to know more deeply the infinite love of Christ, he prays that we will then be filled with the fullness of God. There's a parallel verse in Colossians 1:19 that reads this, "For in him, that is in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." In Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. When we think of being filled with the fullness of God, we need to ask ourselves, what does it look like? And I believe the answer is there. It's found in Jesus. What does it look like to be filled with the fullness of God? Look no further than Jesus Christ. Look no further than Jesus. For in him, Colossians 1:19, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So, where do we go from here? Well, let me introduce a little tension here. There's an already and not yet tension. And we see that throughout the scriptures. There's an already, not yet. When Jesus came, I'll give you an example of what I mean by that. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand. That is now. And he started healing people, right, when his ministry began. It's the kingdom is now. Okay, so there's an already. But there's also a kingdom to come. Right? There's also a not yet. Right? When there's a great fulfillment of all of the promises of God in Scripture. So there's a kingdom to come, and there's a kingdom now. There's an already, not yet tension in the New Testament. And there's an already, not yet tension right here. When we repent of our sins and put our trust in Jesus, we're forgiven. And who comes to live within us? The Spirit of God. We're called... Paul says in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. So we don't live, but Christ lives in us if we're believers in Jesus. So, though God lives within us by his Spirit, we're called to keep on walking in newness of life. There's an already and not yet tension here. Look at Ephesians 4, next chapter after this. Just a few verses away from our text today. It reads in chapter 4, 11 to 13, he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the Christian life is more than just saying a prayer and asking Jesus to come in to our heart and forgive us of our sin. That's just the beginning. That is just, you say it with me, that's just the beginning. A little louder. We ask Jesus into our heart. That's step one. That's baby step one. It's an incredible moment, incredible and important step, but that's only step one. Now, with God living in us, we're called to grow in Him. So Paul is praying that the believers become what they already are. Let me hear it again. Want to hear it again? He's praying that the believers will become what they already are. See, they already have God living in them. They've already been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We learned that in Ephesians chapter 1. Now Paul's just praying, okay, church, God's living in you. Now, be who you are. Let the fullness of God that already resides in your life fill you up and take you over and take over your mind, take over your heart, take over your dreams. He's praying that the believers become what they already are. The scripture teaches us the Holy Spirit's living in us. And at the same time, the scriptures call us to be filled with His fullness, to be all He wants us to be holy as He is holy. Naturally, things get in the way. You ever notice that? Things get in the way of what God wants for us and calls us to. So what keeps us from Christian maturity? What keeps us from knowing this fullness of God in our lives? I'll summarize it with one word, sin. Look back to chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. Look how it begins. Ephesians 2 begins this way. Chapter 2, 1 to 3, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So, that was before Christ. This is BC. If you're a Christian here today, he's describing your life before Jesus. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. terrible news, right? What do? We followed the flesh, we followed the enemy of this world, the devil, and we followed the world itself. But look at 4 and 5 of chapter 2. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So before God made us alive by His mercy and love, our lives were marked by sin and following three things. Our three enemies. We followed the world, we followed the devil, and we followed the passions of the flesh. You might be saying, well, okay, I can understand I followed my flesh. I kind of did things my way, and I followed the world like I did things the world's way. But Pastor, I never followed the devil. I never like made this commitment to follow the devil. Well, the truth is, the enemy of this world, the devil, works through all those things. So whether you realized it or not, you were following him. You're going to have to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Someone famous wrote a song about that once. And if you weren't serving the Lord in your life before Christ, you were serving someone else. But now through Jesus, we have been set free. We've been set free from these sins. The chains have been broken. They no longer hold us. They no longer hold us down. So what's the point I'm getting at here? So often we go back to that life. And the reason why we're not filled with the fullness of God is because we go back. We go back to our life before Jesus. I think, oh, those things of the world, those things of the flesh, they were so tempting. I'm just going to go back there. And you know what? I'm kind of comfortable with those things. I know they're not pleasing to God. But you know what? They feel good. So I'm just going to go back there. And that's what holds us back from experiencing and knowing the fullness of God in our lives. That's what holds us back. And the fullness of God, is another way of putting it, is maturing in Christ. Paul's praying here that we would be filled with the fullness of God. He's praying, in other words, that we would become mature. That we would become more like Jesus. And what keeps us from becoming more like Jesus is sin. It's the stuff from our old life that gets in the way. Pride. For some, it's pride. For some, it's complacency. Some people just like, I don't even want to know God more. I don't want to be filled with the fullness of God. I'll come to church. I'll put in my hour. It's kind of cool. You know, I see some people there that I like. But I don't really want to mature in my faith. That's complacency. It's complacency. And no doubt there'll be some in that camp here this morning, sadly. For some, it's, as I said, personal pleasure. Some have a hunger for power. Some have an ungodly relationship holding them back from the fullness of God in their lives. God wants so much more for you, but you've got a relationship that's not pleasing to God, and it's like an anchor holding you back to the old life. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you're there. And God wants to set you free from those things that hold you back. And he has a course for your life, a course of godliness, of fullness of life, of all that is. He's got so many blessings, I believe, for you. And some of that will come through hard times. But he's got so much more for us who will finally and forever walk away from some of those things that are holding us back. What did Jesus say in John 14? He said this, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him." There is this intimate relationship between obedience and the presence of God, the fullness of God in our lives. When we walk with him, when we keep his word, we experience that in amazing ways. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 6, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are gathered not from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." What's in your heart is going to come out in your life. So if you're filled with God, what's going to come out? God's going to come out. Okay, if you squeeze a lemon, what do you get? Good, you get lemon juice. If you open up a pineapple, do you find a pear? No, you don't. So what's inside a Christian? Christ. Christ. When you squeeze a Christian, what's going to come out? Christ ought to come out, amen? If we're filled with the fullness of God, then with godly qualities, like the fruit of the Spirit, will come out of our lives. And what are the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, right? These are the fruit of who? The Spirit. And what is the Spirit? God. And where does God live? In our lives, right? So, yeah, squeeze a lemon, lemon juice is going to come out. Squeeze a Christian, Christ ought to come out of us. The fruits of the Spirit ought to come out. Hug a Christian. Go ahead. No, just kidding. Okay. If we're filled with the fullness of God, godly qualities like the fruit of the Spirit will be evidenced in our lives. Again, going back to Jesus, he said, "By their fruit you will know them." So if I say I'm a Christian, and what marks my life is pride, selfishness, vanity, gossip, so da-da-da-da-da-da, if I say I'm a Christian, but those things are marking my life, I'm a total hypocrite, aren't I? I'm a total hypocrite. So this is a prayer for the church to be filled, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The Apostle Paul is asking God that this fullness would happen in the life of the believers. If it happened automatically, Paul wouldn't be praying about it. Let me just tell you that. So why must being filled to the fullness of God be a matter of earnest prayer? The answer is simple. We desperately need it. We desperately need God's help in this process. Romans 8 and 29 says, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." I'll read it again. Romans 8, 29. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." That is Jesus. The verse speaks of God's purposes. He has purposed his people to be conformed to Christ. God's plan for you and for me is that we look more and more and more and more and more and more like who? Jesus. So, all men here grow beards and wear sandals and take woodworking classes, right? Just making sure you're with me here. Of course, God's word is speaking of who we are on the inside. Paul prayed that the Ephesians would be filled with the fullness of God, that they would be mature, that they would become who they are. May this be our prayer as well. May it be our prayer often. And if this prayer overwhelms you, notice the encouragement that follows. And there is great encouragement to follow. We'll dive into it next time. But notice the encouragement in chapter 20, in verse 20 rather, of Ephesians 3. Because you might be thinking here this morning, "Pastor, I just can't be filled with the fullness of God. I just can't. I got too many hang-ups in my life. God won't accept me. God can't do that in my life." Guess what? Look at verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think." All we ask or think. He can do that. God can help you with this prayer. Becoming filled with the fullness of God. Because he is able. He is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. He'll blow your dreams out of the water. "According to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Oh, that this would be a prayer for us. Filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. And you know, it can be illustrated in a couple of ways. If I had a small cup with me, imagine I have a cup in my hand, and I went to Chemung Lake, and I filled that cup with water. That cup would be full with the fullness of Chemung Lake, wouldn't it be? It would be filled with the fullness of Chemung Lake. Now, if I had a rain barrel with me, picture a rain barrel in my hands, and I get up to Chemung Lake, all right, and I bend it down, and I fill that rain barrel with Chemung Lake, that becomes filled with the fullness of Chemung Lake, wouldn't it? Right? The little cup, the huge rain barrel. So where are you at in your spiritual journey? You know, if you just have that little cup at this point in your life, let it be filled with the fullness of God if it's just a little cup. But if you want more and more and more, take that rain barrel, would you? And let it be filled with the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of God. And you know, we got to get things out of our lives to make room, don't we? You know, what's in the way? What's in the way? Let's pray. Awesome God, we thank you so much. Oh, we thank you so much that when we put our faith and trust in you, you come to reside in us. You come to live within us. And now, God, I pray for this church, I pray for myself, that we will be filled with the fullness of God, that we will be more and more like you, that we'll be conformed to Christ, that we would be mature. Lord, let your fruit be evident in our lives. We can't do it on our own. We're helpless on our own. We need you, Lord. We need your help to live it out. And Lord, I pray that if there's any soul here that has not put their trust in you this morning, Lord, that they would receive you as Lord and Savior. Know that they are loved. God, that you have a purpose and plan for their lives. Father, have your way. Have your way in all of our lives, in all of your church. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. I'm going to